Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is New Year's Eve, and we are going out with a bang. 5 hours of sports talk. And hey, JP, how you doing?
What's
I ran out of steam there.
I was gonna say this is almost a mayonnaise read with the energy and enthusiasm here.
I wanted to bring
mayo
it.
Mayo game day be delicious.
You really got it. There's a lot of elements to that. I don't want to start explaining how to do a great read like that, but you get it. You're a radio pro.
Yeah, right? but you came in like a bowl in a china shop, and I love it.
And then I ran completely out of steam.
And then you stopped, and that's okay, too.
Because it is the end of the year. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm getting excited for New Year's Eve. Kind of excited. I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy. We usually go to a party downtown every year for New Year's Eve, and this year we're not doing that, mm-hmm. and I could not be more thrilled. We're just going to hang out at the house. We're going to watch all the... we're going to watch Andy Cohen get drunk, basically, is what's going to happen, and it's going to be a good time.
So, how much of those shows do you actually watch?
I don't care for any of them, but my wife loves those shows.
Yeah,
but we always go to this party. Every single year, we go to this party downtown, and this year, we're not going to it, and so I never get a chance to watch them. She never gets a chance. She loves them, but she never gets a chance to watch them, so I'm going to be... This will be like on the election night. Where we just get a pizza, and then I got Kornacki on one screen, and we're going and we're flipping through. That's what tonight's going to be as well.
Can we just be honest on New Year's? It's too much Seacrest. He's not Dick Clark, and we've positioned him
the Seacrest thing, though. People hate him on the wheel.
Yeah,
he's not beloved taking over for Pat Sajak, and now he's getting destroyed on what is supposed to be his own day.
Yeah, don't care, because it's not his day. He's no Dick Clark. He's just not.
He's trying to be.
Like, Andy at least has his own lane and is doing it. Ryan Seacrest is, I don't even know he's human.
Well, I like Andy's lane. Andy's lane is like, let's just get drunk with Anderson Cooper and call it a day.
Yeah, and be a little sassy too. Like, I like that. Right? We're going to say some things we shouldn't say. Well, that's half the show.
You almost did, yeah.
Yeah. But... when it comes to Seacrest, I don't know he's human. He could be a robot, for all I know.
Yeah, is that
Fox
work?
Could have built him 30 years ago, and he could still just be functioning. It's like the Voyager 2. He's still somehow functioning better than any robot in the history of robots.
Is that work if they tell you to get drunk all night and just kind of like give your observations? It's kind of like what sports radio was 35 years ago, for being honest.
Yeah, well, okay, but it wasn't just the booze. And by the way, in New York, the ball dropping, it could also be a little powder as well, right?
How did Planet Fitness take over the whole entire day, by the way? When I think New Year's Eve and the ball dropping, I think of Planet Fitness. That is an incredible branding by them.
Yeah, at the same point, that because it ties into the end of year guilt of like, oh, I got to be better in 2025. Don't play with delusions. All right, if you
don't
have a
play
plan.
With delusions.
Yeah, no,
give people hope.
No.
This is like the Browns quarterback conversation.
But,
give people hope at some point.
Yeah, no. But hope shouldn't just be about, I'm going to be so much better for the next week. Like, if you really...
But you do it as long as you can.
No, that's not really how change works.
Well, it's not how change works. But then, again, we're in the optimism business, right? Hey, for 10 people that try to get up on that treadmill for the first time on January 1st, one person will.
Okay, wait, so just getting on the treadmill, I'm getting 10%?
Listen, I'm not giving high percentages here for people to actually stay with their New Year's Eve commitment. Who's ever been like, I started something on New Year's Eve and it was turning over a new leaf, and then it actually made it for the whole entire year? It's like 10%
so
of people.
So if you do it, there's no judgment, all right? I know it sounded like I was judging. I'm, I just, I, like... I just hate false promises.
Talk about Planet Fitness. You're judging. They don't judge there. The whole motto is not to judge.
Allow me to reel it back in. No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
That's their pitch.
That being said, the idea that you just start anew because that one day changed to another is just bonkers to me.
Have you ever actually made a New Year's resolution? I've never made one. I can't be the person that's like, I need to make something and make this big grandiose change because I don't ever make them.
Before I knew how the world worked and how I worked, I would do that sort of thing all the time. And then 10 days in, you'd be like, and where's the cheeseburger? And I guess I don't like this walking every day thing. So yeah, I tend to be, because you know what? Again, judgment-free zone. It doesn't work for me. That's all
it does work for some people.
For some people, they can do that. That's not how my brain works. I have to just start doing something regardless of the calendar. And then every day I reaffirm my commitment to it.
Okay.
And if I try and put some false deadline on it or I just start before I'm ready, it's going to go to pot.
So I did have like a 10-year stretch where I went to the gym every day, right? It was just a thing that I did. I liked going to the gym. I would listen to sports radio.
How much of that is what I
knew? It was probably about 18 to 28, 29, somewhere around there. It was actually well into me being here in Cleveland. So actually, I probably should say closer to maybe 20 to 30, that 10-year stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, and I hated January because there was a lot of people that just filled up those gyms, and then you couldn't get anywhere and couldn't do anything, and you knew those people weren't going to be around in March. You knew they weren't going to be, but for that month, it's just annoying as hell.
I think I've always heard it's a week.
Also, by the way, what is the what 10-year stretch? Did I know you during that? And just because I didn't put on,
I thought I slid that one by the goalie there.
Just I didn't put on muscle mass doesn't mean I wasn't going. I was going. The reason why we stopped going is because I looked around and I'm like, oh, it has been a decade, and I don't look like an Under Armour model. I definitely am just walking around and listening to podcasts and talking to people. That's my gym.
Hey, that's actually why I stopped going to a gym in Streetsboro, is I knew too many people there. Okay, this is going to sound bad, because again, I'm fat because of my own decisions, but it made it infinitely harder to be on like a, what the heck are those things? Elliptical, and really be going after it. And somebody's like, hey, Nick, the girl's going to be at the game this weekend, because like their kid played sports with mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was like, and then you have to slow down and then you break a rhythm, and you can only, when you already have like a paper thin ability to stick to things like working out, any bit of distraction is only going to make it tougher. If we're just being 100% honest with ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is I just took it like 20% is all I ever. I never went hard in the paint in any of it.
You know who did go hard in the paint? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, 28-4. Bazinga.
Yeah, what is, how does 28-4 rank with 15-0?
I'm here to tell you that if you guys don't believe in this team, you're just haters.
You got to be a hater.
You got to be a hater.
Got some haters in the building.
I'm going to lead with that. I'm not going to put it on the back end. You're a hater.
Strong words out of you.
That's the only kind I have. A will, weak as hell. Words, strong as hell. I just want to thank the Cavs. Right here, no resolutions. No, I'm going to get a listy because it's the, you know, we're turning the page over to 2025, and I still can't believe I'm alive. And that rhymed weirdly. But I just want to thank the Cavs, because all season long, they've wanted such a clip and played such a fun, watchable brand of basketball that it is the low commitment, like, perfect rebound booty, like, just the best energy possible.
They can't be your pet project, though, okay? This is not...
I'm not fixing them.
I hate it when people did this with the Guardians, though. It was like, oh, well, we're just here for the highs.
Oh, no, no.
And then when the lows happen, we're jump off and pretend like they don't exist.
Yep.
No, no, no. If you're here for the good times, you got to be here for the bad times.
100%. But the fact that we have stretched the good vibes from October to 2025, thank God. I mean, in the midst of the Browns not just being abhorrent, but then everybody looking around like, man, I can't believe this either. I wonder how this happened. But we got the right guys. The mix of complete ineptitude and the certainty that they know everything, that they've got this covered, that you just need to stop being upset at how completely, awful that they are. And like, why are you even questioning us? So from that, from the Browns, from the fact that I enjoyed so much the Guardians for it only to turn into the same conversation it does every offseason, which is the vocal minority screaming about Dolan's is cheap and you can't even just get a moment of peace for any move they make. I got to tell you.
You're welcome, Cleveland.
The Cavs at 28-4. Thank you for delivering us. I am delivered from all of the crap that usually comes with Cleveland sports. And last night was another sign of that, and the fact that the Warriors are washed as hell.
Well, and we talked about it going into the game, right? That the Warriors are, they're just an average team at best. People overrated them. And you got a Lakers team tonight. It'll be cool to play LeBron. It'll also be cool to put the boots to LeBron. The worry I have, though, is that, and I hate that I feel this way, but I just do. I've just watched so much NBA in my life, and I know how this works. Young and athletic teams are always good this time of the year. Yep. This is how this works. And this team is, they're young, they're athletic, and the other caveat in this is that they go deeper. Hello. They go deeper
downtown
than most NBA rosters do. Like they are perfectly set up for the regular season to have this success.
Well, you missed one part. They play hard.
Yeah,
which
is not a thing that other people in the NBA do.
And in fairness, it's not something the Cavs, this is the Kenny Atkinson effect, it's not something the Cavs did last year consistently.
Also, well, I mean, they've also had extreme health this year, too.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. But, like, there were times where, oh, the Nets are in town. Yeah, they're not going to win this game. Inexplicably, they're not going to win this game. The only games I can think of this year where it was a complete letdown how they played, where they played down to their opponent, was the Hawks games.
Yeah.
That's it. Every other time, I've just watched them go out there and just bully teams. But I really will say, this is just another reminder that this is so much fun. Enjoy every second of it. But don't let yourself think this is more than what it is until we see proof otherwise.
Oh, I like that you're taking this approach because people, I mean, this is the time where people are going a little overboard on the Cavs in many respects. Like, now is the time because the Celtics have lost now 3 out of their last 4.
Yep.
They're not looking as good as they once were. They're still good. They're not a regular season team. They're a postseason team, okay? But they're looking, they look like they have a little bit of a chink in the armor, even though, again, I don't believe it to be true. And the Cavs right now have the number one offense in the NBA. They're top 10 in defense as well, and they look like they're playing the best basketball in the NBA.
Yeah, they're a great regular season team.
Yeah.
Like, they play hard, they have a tremendous offense, and they play enough defense. Oh, and by the way, they're incredibly deep. Like, oh, and the fifth thing, they're incredibly well coached.
Yeah.
Those five things will take you tremendously far in the regular season. But I think, and because this is my concern with the Cavs as well, that they're going to look at this and go, well, we got this figured out. We don't need to modify this roster in any way. And I'm not saying that there is the perfect deal out there. Like, the Dorian Finney-Smith thing was wild to me. I mean, I actually thought, all things considered, 3 seconds and expiring contract and D'Angelo Russell was low, considering the esteem that people, you know, kind of place him in. But yeah, I mean, like, if Cam Johnson's there, 28-4 shouldn't stop you from going to make that deal. If Herb Jones is available, or one of the big wings in New Orleans, it shouldn't preclude you from making the roster or making the big move that you need to make, because quite frankly, that might be the difference between you being a true championship team and just being super competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. If that's all Kobe Altman and Kenny Atkinson and Dan Gilbert want, okay. But man, I got to think, the NBA's wide open. You never know how long a championship window is or isn't.
Yeah.
28-4 might prove that the championship window is open, but remember, that championship window involves your core four, not 1 through 13.
Yeah, and how they maneuver through this is going to be really interesting, and how we figure this whole thing out.
And there is a lot of risk, in fairness. Like, there's a lot of risk in making that move this year. If in the end, 2 years from now, you have to move on from Darius or Donovan one way or another. I'm not saying there isn't risk, but man, I got to say, if you put them on the table this year, you know, I think you're seeing that you've got the right coach. I think you are seeing that the system absolutely does fit in the NBA. And by the way, that's with pieces that still don't perfectly conform to each other. So you get one or two extra really good three-point shooters with size you can actually guard the Giannis's, the Tatum's, the Browns, That is the kind of thing that... Listen, I don't know there's a move that can put you above the Celtics if we just talk about pure talent.
Yeah, and that's...
But could it put you in the same ballpark?
Part of the discussion.
Like, could it put you in the same ballpark where all of a sudden it's not a complete afterthought of you beating them in the Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah, I think there are moves that could do that for
you. And we're only here because of this start.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. Yeah, but that's... It, you know, maybe that's a better way to put it. This is proof of concept that you are ridiculously talented. It shouldn't be proof of concept that you can win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Until you get into the NBA playoffs, like we say it all the time, it's a completely different game,
mm-hmm.
and that game is not suited and is not as readily suited for two undersized combo guards who at points can get a little ball heavy to go ahead and just breeze through the playoffs the way I think some people expect them to at 28-4.
I'm happy you see it this way. I really got worried we were going to come in here and we'd have to do some sort of Donnybrook, some sort of knock them out, drag them out over what postseason basketball is relative to regular season basketball. But the idea that the Cavs have delivered so far to this point, and we can get so nitpicky on these games, that's a good thing. Like, think about it. The first quarter last night, Nick, they stunk up the joint. They didn't look good at all. Cavs Twitter was having a meltdown over it, and it's like, all right, then the next three quarters, they were amazing and didn't really matter. Like, having those type of discussions shows how far we've come, where even after a dominating win, we can still go, well, what happened in that first quarter? We've come a long way with this team. There's room to grow, and now we have to try to figure out a way where it matches what you'd see in the regular season with the postseason, where the postseason becomes a million times more physical and becomes a million times harder.
Well, and just remember, the rest of the NBA is telling you right now they don't think you're a real NBA a championship contender.
Right, Vegas tells you that. The national discussion tells you that all the time.
Yes.
They're not taking you that as seriously as people around here are.
Which is okay. Like, the Cavs still have more to prove, and in fairness, the Cavs have been underwhelming the two previous years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we should remember that, because some of the things that came out in the playoffs are because of how you're built, and... Like
the physicality part of it.
Like, you might be overshooting what you are because the NBA is super soft, and because you're playing hard and you've got a lot of things that go right, you still might need one or two things. But I think my point is this idea that in December or January we need to make definitive statements on the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
That's always where all of a sudden you miss me.
Yeah, don't get trapped in the idea that a young athletic team is off to a great start. If you're young and athletic, you can win a lot of regular season games in the NBA.
216-474-0092. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got a loaded show today. Albert Breer at 3 o'clock today. We'll get into the Browns letting Mike Vrabel out of his contract so he can go, well, just about anywhere he wants. We've also got Dave Biddle of Bucknuts.com at 4:20. We'll get into Ohio State, Oregon. That is going to be a fair amount of today's show, as that's going to be a big game tomorrow, 5 o'clock at the Rose Bowl. Ari Wasserman covers college football for On3 Sports, formerly of The Athletic, formerly of Cleveland.com. We'll get his thoughts on Ohio State, Oregon as well. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Are the Cavs a great regular season team, or do you think 28-4 proves more than that? Kenny Atkinson thought on it. Your calls next on 92.3 The Fan.